I'm going to welcome up Matt in just a second, but I want to make a statement, or I want to just clarify something I said last week. We talked about last week being filled with the Spirit, empowered for mission, and I believe that that is a conscious, something that consciously happens to us, that when we fill, there's results of that. But one of the things that I realized when I was done, I didn't clarify, is that I don't want you to think that we pray to be filled with the Spirit and then wait for something to happen before we tell people about Jesus, before we share the gospel, because oftentimes, and we didn't get a chance to go through all the times it was in the book of Acts, but that they are filled, that we are filled when we step out and trust that God's going to fill us with the Spirit. And so I didn't want you to become passive and think, well, I'm not filled with the Spirit, so I can't share. That's not the case at all. Okay? So we have the privilege of having Matt Early with us today, one of our elders. He's going to be sharing. We're going through a series on the work of the Spirit in our lives, in the life of our body. And Matt is going to come up and share on being led by the Spirit. So let's welcome up Matt. Let me pray for Matt. Father, just thank you for Matt. Lord, I thank you how he has grown as a communicator and as a teacher, Bible teaching. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint him now as he speaks, give him clarity of his thoughts. Lord, I ask that you would empower him by your Spirit. Lord, we just acknowledge the event of and the opportunity we have when we get up and teach and preach that we have nothing to give unless you empower us, that everything we've thought about, reflected on, is a gracious gift of your Spirit to us, illumination and opening up our eyes and enlivening our passions and our desires and our appetites for you. And it's out of the overflow of what you've poured into us that we speak and share a week in and week out. And so, Lord, I ask that you would work through Matt today. And, Lord, give us ears to hear, Lord, because we also need to work the Spirit in each one of us as we listen, that we would be attentive, that we would be perceptive. And Lord, I ask for those of us that that being led by the Spirit is foreign to us, or just any kind of subjective or intuitive listening or responding to the work of the Spirit in the moment is foreign, or we've had bad experience, or experiences have put a bad taste in our mouth. Lord, I ask that you would help us to see things biblically and clearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everybody. Whoa. Power. Power. Sweet. Okay, well, as David shared about, we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit, unlearning what we thought we knew about who the Holy Spirit is and how he works, and kind of relearning who the Spirit is and how he works in our lives. And our heart on it is that we would learn not only who the Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, but also what a life filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. What does it mean when people say, I'm just walking around filled with the Holy Spirit, or I'm in a life full of the Holy Spirit? What does that look like practically? I mean, how does that play itself out in daily life? And so that's kind of what we've been continuing on and what we'll continue on here today. And as David talked about, what I'm going to be sharing about is being led by the Spirit, the idea of being Spirit-led. And a lot of us have probably heard that concept, and all of us probably have different ideas on it. Probably a lot of us take it as kind of God showing up and doing this, like, Jake, at approximately 2:44 exactly, I want you to go down to the corner of Pioneer and Bartlett Avenue, where you will meet a guy driving in a red Subaru who will park on the side of the road. He's wearing a green jacket and orange pants. He has no fashion sense. And I want you to go up to him and tell him that Jesus loves him. And then he will fall on his knees, believe in the gospel, and repent. And a lot of us have kind of that impression that this Spirit-led is this crazy, amazing thing where God has all these adventures and it's just specific and planned out and all these crazy things that happen. And we've probably heard stories about that, people doing handstands in McDonald's or something like that, and by being Spirit-led to do a handstand at McDonald's, and somebody gets saved at the same time. heard stories, things like that. And that is an aspect, and can both of those can be aspects of being Spirit-led. God can do that, and he has done that, and he will do that. But there are so many, there's so much broader definition to what it is to be Spirit-led and how that plays out. And that's kind of what we're going to get into. And what I hope to do in this is to help us all to be able to understand first that God has given us his Spirit to be our God, our guide in life, so that we can walk in God's will to accomplish God's purposes for us. So we can walk in God's will to accomplish God's purpose. Not only in these big missional decisions and missional living and evangelism, but also in decisions that we face in life and also on a daily basis as we seek to walk in holiness. So I want to give us a biblical understanding of how the Holy Spirit can lead us and how he does lead us, and also to help us to be able to recognize his leading too. Because we'll get into this too, but the Spirit is leading us all the time, constantly, if we will have ears to hear and eyes to see. And my heart is to help us understand it, to be able to recognize that a little bit more clearly, as well as an encouragement for all of us to submit to God and obey and let God lead us by his Spirit and see what will happen. So let's pray with that in mind. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for your truth, and I pray that as we dig into your word today, that you would open up our eyes, Father God, to see amazing truths from your word, that you would open up our understanding of your Spirit, Lord, and what it means to be guided and led by your Spirit. Lord, that you would strip away all of our preconceptions, and Lord, just lay us bare and speak to our hearts and draw us to you, Father. Lord, that we would truly just come and submit before you, Lord, and submit to the leading of your Spirit, that you would have your way in us, Father God, in everything, that your will would be accomplished in us, Father. Guide our hearts to you today, Father God, and guide my words as I speak, and I pray that your name would be glorified, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So the first one part that I want to get into is the Spirit, how the Spirit leads us in on a daily basis just in walking in holiness. And I shouldn't say just. The Spirit leads us daily walking a life of holiness before God. And David addressed this earlier on in the series, but I do want to do a quick recap on it because it is an aspect of being Spirit-led. And kind of one of the most common instances that probably all of us have noticed or felt. So if you could turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to hit the verse in there. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 26, if you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, we'll put it up on the screen there. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you will not be under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So you see, we've got this battle within us. All of us do. All the time. We have this battle of the flesh versus the Spirit. Our flesh is always trying to lead us away from God and towards sin. Our flesh is always pushing us, saying, do this, do that, whatever it is that your flesh might want, the list that he gives in here. Whereas our Spirit is on the other side, seeking to lead us towards righteous living. And remember, as he's talked about in here, we have crucified our flesh, but now we are alive in the Spirit. The Spirit should be what dominates our life. And the Spirit is always guiding us towards righteous living. Just like in the prayer and the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, God is not leading us into temptation. God is leading us to deliver us from evil. And this will manifest itself in a lot of ways. I mean, a lot of time, like for me, sometimes when I get upset at my wife or at my kids or something like that, and I hear that voice inside calming me, settling me down so I don't blow up at them. And sometimes I listen to that. Last night I did not, and I blew up. But we hear that voice inside of us speaking to us and calming us and guiding us. Or a lot of times, like for me, I'll get preoccupied looking at financial stuff and thinking through things like that, and I'll hear God's Spirit speak to me and says, Matt, my kingdom, focus more on my kingdom and less on yours. Trust me, I'll hear God's Spirit drawing me back to him and leading me back to him to get rid of my flesh and to walk by God's Spirit. You see, God is our shepherd. God is our shepherd, and if you look at a shepherd's role, what they do, their role is to lead their flock away from danger and to lead them into a place of blessing, into greener pastures. And that's what God's Spirit does. It leads us out of a place of danger, out of temptation, and into a place of blessing as we walk in obedience to God. If we will listen to our spirit when tempted, the Bible says you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If we listen to God's Spirit, we will not fall when we are tempted. But we have to be listening to God's Spirit and submit to him. He will guide and empower us as we live a life of submit, as we submit to him. If we submit to him, God will lead us and empower us so that we do not have to walk out in sin. We can live our lives in perfect obedience to God if we will listen to his Spirit. Okay? So that's a quick recap on the one of the main ways that God's Spirit leads us. Now we're going to go into a few others. And my second one is God's Spirit leads us as we make decisions in life. As we go through decisions in life on be it big or be it little. And I got a story here. So, a preacher's car broke down on a country road, and he walked to a nearby roadhouse where he wanted to call the phone to call for help. After calling for a tow truck, he spotted his old friend Frank, drunk and shabbily dressed at the bar. "What happened to you, Frank?" asked the pastor. "You used to have a lot of money. You used to be fine." Frank told him a sad story about bad investments that led to his downfall. The pastor said to him, "Frank, go home. Open your Bible at random, stick your finger on the page, and there will be God's answer to you." Sometime later, quite a few years after that, the preacher bumped into Frank, who was wearing a Gucci suit, sporting a Rolex watch, and had just stepped out of a Mercedes car. "Frank," said the pastor, "I'm glad to see things really turned around for you." And Frank said, "Yes, Pastor, and I owe it all to you. When I got home, I did what you asked me to do. I opened my Bible, and I put my finger down, and there it was right in front of me, chapter 11. Anybody know? Chapter 11, bankruptcy. Okay. So God can lead us in crazy things like that and speak to us. But we'll talk about a few other ways that are probably more common. So if you can turn with me to one other verse, it's Ephesians 5, so the next book after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 5, we're looking at 15 through 21. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, but for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So he's talking about in here understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, the Spirit helps us to understand what the will of the Lord is. God's Spirit will help us to see and understand what God's will for us is in different situations so that we will not be foolish. And he talks in here about look carefully how you walk. Look carefully how you walk, not as the unwise, but as the wise. See, we should not be making rash decisions without God's leading, without the Spirit's leading us. That is what he's talking about with being foolish. But we need to understand what God's will is. And we'll talk about how to do that. One more verse, if you could jump back to Acts with me. We're going to go to Acts chapter 13. And we'll be in Acts quite a bit today, so you can kind of keep your finger in the book of Acts, and we'll be jumping around to a few different verses in there. And this is an example of how God led and guided the early church. Acts 13, 1 through 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch some prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. When they were worshiping in the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. See, this was an instance of God's Spirit leading in a decision, God's Spirit guiding. These guys were fasting and praying, and in the midst of that, they heard the Spirit give them direction and guidance for basically the vocation, the careers that Paul and Barnabas were going to have, how they, where they, what they were supposed to do for ministry. You see, fasting and praying and worshiping can all help us to more clearly hear God's Spirit leading us and guiding us. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. And we want, if you look in Acts chapter 15 too, just a few chapters later, we won't go into this a lot, but this is where the early church is writing a letter to the Gentile converts, and they're deciding, how do we address some issues in the early church? And in verse 28, it says, "For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements." You see, even in this letter that they were writing, God's Spirit was leading them and guiding them to make these decisions for the early church, things that were divisive in the early church, and they had to take to God in prayer. God's Spirit led them in how to address them and how to deal with them. You see, before we get into this, the first and foremost guidance for every Christian is the Word of God. This should always be first and foremost our guidance, because this is the for sure written Word of God. However, there are times, God does give us His Spirit as guidance as we go through in life planning and decision making for things that aren't, where the answers aren't clearly outlined in Scripture, such as our finances. I mean, how do we make some financial decisions? Where are we going to live? I mean, should we live in home or should we move? Something like that. Some of those answers aren't clearly outlined in Scripture for us. Jobs. What kind of job are we going to have? Whether we should put our toilet paper on overhand or underhand. Do it overhand. It's way better. Overhand. Okay. All these, there's a lot of decisions out there. The answer is not clearly defined in Scripture on what to do. We need to seek God's Spirit to guide us and to lead us in what to do in those instances. And like he talks about in the Ephesians verse, the key is being filled with God's Spirit. Be filled with God's Spirit. Constantly seeking God and being in that attitude of prayer and worship as they were in Acts, where we're submitting to God and listening to his voice and open to his leading. And we'll talk more about that as we go. And there's a few different ways that God can lead us, and we'll talk a little bit about that now. One of them it can be God can speak to us in an audible voice where we can hear his voice and understand a voice. And this can be in a vision. This could be just as we sit in worship, and it's like somebody's talking to us, a voice from God. Anybody ever had an experience like that where you could audibly hear the voice of God? A few people. It's okay if you don't. No worries. I've only had a few of those instances in my case where I could physically hear the voice of God, and it was on where I was going to live after I graduated. I really heard the voice of God speaking to me and telling me what to do. And when I made a job change about 5 years ago or so, I heard the voice of God clearly telling me and directing me what I needed to do. And if you have that, great, praise God. If you hear the voice of God and you understand it, praise God. But a lot of times, we don't clearly and audibly hear the voice of God. We don't have that encounter or that vision with God. But don't panic. It doesn't mean that God isn't leading us. You see, if you read in the book of Acts, most of the actions that we see done by the apostles, by Paul, by Peter in there, aren't the result of direct words from the Bible, direct words that they hear in a vision or anything like that that we can see in the text. Most of them are, they feel the Holy Spirit leading them and guiding them. And I remember early on in my walk with God, it was I was debating that and trying to figure that out, and I wanted that audible voice of God. I wanted to clearly hear the voice of God. I was really into prayer journaling and like writing down what I was hearing from God, and I wanted to do that, and I had these decisions that I was going through where I wanted to do that. And I remember one time it was when Tracy and I were actually were dating, and we were pretty serious, and I was getting to the point where, okay, I think I want to ask this girl to marry me. And I remember debating that a lot and just coming to God in prayer constantly, like seeking God, is she the one? Is she the one? Is she the one? And it bothered me because I did not get an audible voice from God. I didn't hear a clear word from God back saying, yes, Matt, marry Tracy. I didn't hear that audible voice, and that bothered me. And so I remember I went and talked to a guy in my church who was my mentor, and I talked to him. I'm like, what do I do? Am I making the wrong decision? What should I do? And kind of panicking, and you could see him just go, oh, gee, nah. What he did was he just said, he guided me to a scripture, and I'll take you to there now. This is Romans chapter 12. If you could turn with me there. Next book after Acts, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see that what he was telling me and what he was guiding me into that is that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, after we are saved, God's Spirit is at work in our mind, transforming our mind so that we can have more of the mind of Christ, so that we can think like God and see things like God does. We're transformed so that we can understand the will of God. You notice in there, it doesn't say that we are transformed by the removal of our mind. After salvation, I will transform you by the removal of your mind. And then you will be like robots. And I can tell you what to do and you shall do it. And I will hit my buttons and you will go where I lead you to go. You see, that is not how God has created us to be in our safe state. God is renewing our mind so that we can think like God. Not that we become robots, but so that we can think, we can reason through things with the transformed mind that God has given us, and we can see and understand the will of God. And the Spirit's leading does not mean the absence of thinking or reasoning. It doesn't mean that we abandon that and we just listen for the voice of God and go. We think and we reason through the Word of God, through what the Spirit is leading us to do with these renewed minds that God has given us. And we can pray through these decisions. And that is God's Spirit leading us through the work that he has and is doing in our minds. This is constant. To the day we get to heaven, God is going to be renewing our minds, training us and changing us to think more like Christ. And often, you know, often with being Spirit-led, we think it's our own thoughts. We'll just think these things in our head, and we don't realize it's God speaking to us. And my wife was reminding me last night, when she was in college, she was driving home, and she was just kind of like, I think I'm going to take this other road home. And so she stopped, and she just took this other, longer, windier road back to her house than she normally would. And then afterwards, she got home, she heard later that there was a big accident causing multiple deaths right on the route that she would have been going through at that exact time. And she recognized in that, okay, this was, I mean, I thought it was just me thinking this, but this was God's Spirit leading and guiding me. And a lot of times we don't recognize God's Spirit leading and guiding us in our thoughts, but he is, with the renewed minds that God has given us. And that's the host of decisions that we make today. A lot of the decisions that we make today, we're not going to hear the audible voice of God. But if we are listening to God, we will hear and understand his reasoning as we think through things. I mean, in how we discipline our children and how we plan financially and places to live and in ministry. Those are all decisions for me personally that I've made as I've thought through things and I've talked to people and as I've sought the will of God, God has led me where he's wanted me to go. And I'll say this kind of as an aside, I strongly believe that if we are committed to following God, he is not going to let us make a decision that is going to ruin his plans for our life. I used to worry about that, where I would make like, God, where am I supposed to live? I don't want to like really screw things up. And then like your plan is shot, and then you're just wondering what to do. Oh, help me not to do that. And then I used to worry about those things, and I totally feel God's peace that as I am seeking God's will, God's going to lead and guide me. You see, that God's will is sovereign. There's nothing that I can do to screw it up. His plans will be accomplished for my life. God's plans will be accomplished for my life. So don't stress. Seek the will of God and let him lead us. And I want to address a few misconceptions in there too. A lot of people think, and I used to think a lot too, that God's Spirit leading us means spontaneous. It means God's Spirit is out it comes, and that's what we do. I kept telling David as I was working on this, David, I'm not going to have any notes or scriptures. I'm just going to get up there and be Spirit-led, man. We'll just see what happens. Could be interesting. You never know. And a lot of us kind of think that's the Spirit-led message, and we hear people doing that, and we're like, man, those people are amazing. Those people really hear the voice of God. And sometimes they do, and sometimes that's great, and sometimes that is how God works. But if you look at this, and we'll get into the scripture a little bit on this, planning ahead is also godly and supported by scripture. You see, Spirit-led can be spontaneous. I mean, God can lead somebody with a message or with a word or an action or something to do spontaneous, but it doesn't have to be. You see, God can lead us anytime. As I worked on this message, God was leading me, I believe, as I was putting it together and looking up scriptures and finding stuff. All of us can be Spirit-led at any time, in advance or in the moment. All of it takes faith, and all of it takes being listening to God's will and submitting to God's power. And if you see in the book of Acts, Paul had all these travel plans laid out. He planned where he was going to go in all his letters that he would write out. But he always qualified it, if it was God's will, if it's the Lord's will, then I'll be over there at this time. If it's the Lord's will, I'll see you then. Different things like that. Paul planned, but he laid those plans at the feet of God. And that's our heart too. Even as we work on this message and work on this message prep, we put it together and then we lay it at the feet of God and say, God, I believe this is where you've led me. I believe this is what you've given me. Use it as you will. If you would change it, have your way. Have your way. Turn with me to one other verse here. If you look at, go back to James, near the end of the Bible, the book of James, we're going to look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, 13 through 15. 4:13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. I'll read 16. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. You see, what he's saying in there is not don't have plans. He's saying plan, but then qualify that with if it is the Lord's will. Don't get so stubborn in our planning that we aren't listening to God's Spirit. Don't say, this is where I'm going to go, and I'm going to invest in the stock market for a year, skip church and do whatever I want and live this way, and then I'll come back. We have to submit to God's will and always, in everything, say, Lord, if it's God's will, this is my plan. We lay out our plans before God and let him lead and guide us. So again, planning is not bad. God's Spirit can lead us in the moment or he can lead us ahead of time. He can tell you in the morning, hey, at Safeway today, you're going to meet somebody that I want you to share the gospel with. He could tell you in the morning when you get up, or he can tell you at Safeway when you're staring them in the face. Both of them take being Spirit-led and God's leading. And one other note on this, and this one's very important. Always, always, how often? Always. You don't even know what I'm going to say. That's the beauty of it. Always test what you feel like you are hearing from God's Spirit. Always test it. First, does it line up with the Word of God? Does what you're hearing line up with the Word of God? God's spoken word to us, or where God leads us and guides us, will never, ever, ever contradict God's Word. Will it ever contradict God's Word?
Never.
Okay, good job. You guys are listening. never contradict God's word. God will never lead us to do anything that doesn't line up with Scripture. God will never say, as much as we would want him to sometimes, go ahead and skip church this morning and go out fishing. The king fishing is really good up by Bear Creek, so head up there today, okay? Skip church, it's good. God, I don't think that's God's voice. I can't say never, I guess I shouldn't say never, but probably you might want to run that by somebody. It's probably not God's leading, although some of us might want it to be. Which also means that we need to know God's word. We need to be in God's Bible to know and help lead and guide us. You see, we've got all these things, voices inside of us with other people talking to us and leading and guiding us, TV leading us and guiding us, and temptation leading us and guiding us. We need to be in God's word so that we can understand and more clearly understand what God is saying to us. Be in our Bibles on a daily basis. Be to church. Be to life groups. Be in those areas where we can immerse ourselves in the word of God so that we can understand it and let that help guide us as we are led by his spirit. And the other way is share what we think we are hearing with mature Christians. Share when you hear God leading and guiding you, run that by somebody. Ask somebody, hey, this is what I feel like God's leading me. This is what I feel like God's guiding me. Like I did when I was trying to decide on marrying Tracy or not. Talk to somebody. If we could bring up the verse from Proverbs 11:14, and I'll just mention this. It says, where there is no guidance, people fall. Where there is no guidance, where we don't have somebody around us, this is the importance of church and life groups and mentors and leaders. Where there is no guidance, people fall. But in a multitude, in an abundance of counselors, there is wisdom. In abundance of counselors, there is safety. You see, God has given us a safety net and an abundance of people around us who can speak to us and help us understand the word of God. We've done that a number of times when we decided to move up here from Idaho, we sat down with leaders there and talked to people and a number of times with children and how do we deal with issues. We've talked to people. We've asked for input and ideas, ministry decisions, where to be involved in and what to do. We've talked to people. You see, people help us understand and be able to reflect on what we feel like God is leading us. Because, you've heard this before, but we are never objective about ourselves. We are always partial to what we want to hear, what we want to think, what we want to say. We always want to do, we always kind of have this bent. It's kind of like a car out of alignment. It just kind of wants to go a certain direction. All of us are out of alignment. All of us have tires that are bent up a little bit, and we all want to steer off one direction. And so we need that guidance, that input, to help tell us, whoa, 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 whoa. That's where you want to do, but that's not where you want to go. Go this way. And at least to be able to confirm what God's hearing. One other story for you I got. If I can find it. Okay. An old sailor repeatedly got lost at sea, so some friends gave him a compass and urged him to use it next time he was out on the water. So the next time this old sailor was out on the boat, he followed their advice and took the compass with him. But, as usual, he became hopelessly confused and lost and was unable to find land again. So he called in for help and finally was rescued by his friends. Upset and impatient with him, they asked, "Why didn't you use that compass that we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble." And the sailor responded, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north. But as hard as I tried to get that needle to point north, it just kept pointing southeast." He was so certain that he knew which way was north, he stubbornly refused to listen to the compass that was by his side that was telling him what to do. So he tossed it aside as worthless and failed to benefit from the guidance it could have offered him. See, a lot of times we want to do that, like, no, this is what we need to do. And in the meantime, we've got God's word and we've got other people telling us, wait a minute, that's not north, that's not the way you want to go, that's not right, go this way. But we are so stubborn sometimes in our own thinking that we hear what we want to hear and not what God is speaking to us. So again, talk to people, get guidance, get leading, ask other people for input and advice. I remember when I was in college, we'd always have every year in college ministry, there'd be some guys who'd be like, "I want to go join a fraternity and reach out to that fraternity and redeem them for Christ." And we try to talk to them and advise them and guide them. But a lot of times they just jump right in there. And almost all the time, inevitably, within a year, they were just one of the boys. Because they would not listen to guidance. They wanted to go do this on their own, not be involved in anything, just immerse themselves in that world to redeem people back. And it wasn't the way to do it. You see, we are not perfect vessels. We do not hear the voice of God clearly. That is why we need the Bible, because this is the clear and perfect word of God. This is the only clear and perfect word of God. It is spiritual pride to assume that we can and always do hear the voice of God correctly. To say in our heart, this is what I know God is telling me, so you can't tell me any different. That is spiritual pride. We need to take those things and submit them to God, submit them before his word, submit them to other people, and ask them to help us and to guide us and help us to understand God's will. We shouldn't be prideful and not ask for help and not ask for wisdom. Okay. So decisions, that's another way God leads us. And then the other one I want to get into today is how the Spirit leads us towards ministry opportunities. The Spirit leads and guides us towards ministry opportunities. And this is one of the most common ways that we understand being Spirit-led a lot of times, is towards ministry situation. And David talked about last week how the Spirit empowers us towards ministry and also leads us into missional living. And we'll get into that. If you can turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Here again, we'll spend a lot of time in Acts. And I won't recap the story, but I'll walk you through it. And this is kind of this is one where God did get specific. This is Acts 8:26. This is Philip and the eunuch. And what happens is Philip was a follower of Christ, and it says, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he went up, so he heard the voice of God, and he went, and God told him to go to a specific place. So he did. He got up, and he went to where God had called him to be. And there, when he was there, he saw this caravan of people traveling along, and there was an Ethiopian, it says, a eunuch, a court official that was there. And he'd come to Jerusalem and was returning home. And then in 29 it says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join his chariot. So what happens is, so the Spirit told him to say, okay, now he's at the place where God wanted him to be. And now God says, go over and join that guy's chariot. So now God has him in the place. Now he tells him the who. So Philip goes over to where this chariot is and walks along with it. And he's probably wondering, like a lot of us, like, okay, how am I going to start a conversation with this guy? What's going to happen now? Okay, I'm walking along. What do I do now, God? And while he's there, he hears this eunuch up there, and he's reading from the book of Isaiah, reading basically about Christ, a messianic verse about Christ. And so Philip sees a sharp guy, and he's like, whoa, okay, this is God's leading. So he climbs right up there, and he gets the opportunity to share the gospel with the eunuch and then eventually baptize him too. And then it says at the end of that, and when they came up out of the water with baptism, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but Philip found himself at Azotus, where he passed through and preached the gospel to all the towns. So this is an instance where God's Spirit led Philip to a specific place, to a specific person, at a specific time to minister the word of God to. And then after that, he led him to another place to minister to the word of God to. And God can do that, and God does do that. And if you're open, God will lead you in those opportunities, I bet you. God can and will do that. Another one, if you look with me, turn a few more chapters after that, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, 6 through 10. And this is Paul leading and guiding, or this is the Spirit leading and guiding Paul. And they, that's Paul and his traveling companions, went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see, this is an instance where God specifically told Paul places where not to go and minister. And it doesn't give the reason in there. Maybe it was because there was a danger there. There was a lot of danger in that area. Maybe it was because the people there weren't ready to hear. We don't know. But the Spirit guided Paul where not to go and directed him instead where to go, where God was working, where his ministry could produce fruit. And we see that a few times in the book of Acts where God urges Paul to go somewhere, or he urges him to stay in a certain place for a while because there are people there that need to hear the gospel. And in Acts 20, we read about the Spirit compelling Paul to go back to Jerusalem and even warning Paul of the sufferings that were going to come when he does. But you see, Paul was always being led by God's Spirit and where to go. God was guiding him. And he had travel plans again, but he was open and God led him and guided him in where to go in ministry. You see, God's Spirit is regularly leading us towards ministry situations if we will hear him and obey him. God is regularly speaking to us and guiding us and will give us places to go in ministry if we will lead him to, if we will be open to him leading, to his leading. When I was in the dorms at college, it was a cool opportunity in there because I lived in the dorms the whole time and would go down to the cafeteria to eat. And a lot of times I would purposely plan to go down there by myself and I would get my food and then I would go out and I would just look for people, guys who were just sitting by themselves, and I would pray for God's leading and I would just go sit next to some other guy who was eating by himself and just say and just see where God would do. And God gave me great opportunities in and through those to be able to speak the word of God and invite people to church and do things like that. And I would also, some days when I was walking to class, I would ask God to lead me which path to take to class. And I'd let God lead me which path to take to class. And what it was doing, too, even as I was doing that, was it was getting my eyes off of my own agenda and my eyes on Christ. So I was open to his leading, to wherever he would have me to go and people to see. When I was in Bible college, we actually had a class called Spirit-Led Evangelism. And we did labs in the class. We would actually go out and just let God lead us in ministry and have him take us where he will. And I was with a friend, and we were walking around in kind of the main commons building there. And there was one guy that we'd seen that I recognized and I knew a little bit, and God just directed us to go and speak to this guy and go and encourage him. And so we did, and we went up and talked to this guy and ended up starting more of a relationship with him, and that kind of progressed over days and weeks and months, and he ended up coming to Bible studies, eventually ended up coming to church, and ended up getting saved. And a while after that, talking to him, he was sharing with me and this friend about how at the time where we came up and talked to him, that he was in a really dark place. He was an older guy, and he was in a really depressed state of life, and he was actually considering suicide. And in and through God's leading, God brought this guy to himself and transformed him life. And now he's happily married with family and involved in church and doing great. And it's because God's Spirit led and guided us to this guy at the right opportunity, at the right time, and God worked and did awesome things. God can do stuff like that if we're open to him. This year I've got a challenge to myself and my quiet time in the morning to get a word from God to share with somebody during the day, be it a Christian or a non-Christian, but to be open to God giving me a word or an encouragement. Maybe it's a scripture or something like that to share with somebody during the day. And I'm hit and miss. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. Hit and miss, but when I've never been kicked in the face, never been spat, never been slapped. Never had anything bad happen to me doing that as I've stepped out and shared the word of God or shared with somebody. And it might be something simple. It might just be like, Jesus loves you, or praying for somebody. You see, we should always be out there, open to God's leading, seeing where God will do with us. The problem is that we're usually more focused on our own agenda and our own needs. We're more focused on what we need to do at the time and our own kingdom, if you will. Then we are on God's kingdom. And we need to stop and let God lead us. If we're at work, or if we're at Safeway, or if we're down at the fishing hole, or wherever it might be, let God's Spirit lead us. Be open to Him, less focused on our kingdom, more focused on God's kingdom. Take a chance and try it. See what'll happen if we step out in faith and let God do what He'll do. You're going to mess up, I guarantee you. If you step out and do stuff like that, you're going to mess up. But if you preach the word of God to somebody or give an encouragement to somebody, God will use it in awesome ways in His timing. See, all we are God's vessels. The results are up to God. All we do is deliver God's word and do what we believe God is leading us to do. God's in charge of the results. God's the only one who can move on people's hearts and draw people to Him to make the words that we say actually mean anything. So my encouragement and challenge to you guys as we wrap up is to learn to recognize the leading of the Spirit. Learn to recognize the leading of God's Spirit. If we could have the worship team come up for communion, and we could have the communion servers come on up too. Listen to the God's Spirit. Spend time in prayer listening to the voice of God. Constant attitude of prayer and worship, listening to the voice of God. You see, prayer is a dialogue, and we've heard that before. And if we never stop and listen to God speaking to us, we will miss out on so much that God has for us. Ask God a question. Stop and just pause in our own thoughts and our own thinking. Just say, God, speak to me. Lead me, guide me. And let God speak to us and lead us and guide us. And remember that our hearing is imperfect. Get someone, get advice, talk to other people, reflect on the word of God. And again, read your Bible. God will speak to us a lot through the Bible. This is the primary way that God speaks to me in my life, is through His Word. As we read it, God will bring life to scriptures for us and help us be able to apply those to our life. Even specific situations or decisions that we're dealing with, God will speak to us in those and guide us as we read. You see, we don't need to pray for God's Spirit to lead us. Our prayer shouldn't be, God, lead us by your Spirit, or God, speak to us. You see, God is leading us by his Spirit. God is speaking to us. What we need to do is pray that we would have ears to hear and that we would have the willingness to obey God, to submit to God and obey him, to get outside of our comfort zone and obey the voice of God. Because if we will have ears to hear and willingness to obey God, God will use us in incredible ways to build his kingdom. We'll be amazed at what God can do in and through us as we let him, his Spirit lead us and empower us. God will take us on adventures in his Spirit, and it's an awesome way of living. So we're going to get ready for communion here. And communion, as we talked about before, the precursor to all of this is being filled with God's Spirit. Being filled with God's Spirit. Walking in the fullness of God's Spirit, as David was sharing about just a little bit ago. And one of the ways that we can be refilled by God's Spirit is through partaking of communion. Because in and through it, it's a reminder that we are children of God. And as children of God, that God's Spirit is in us. That God's Spirit is empowering us and bringing life to us. I want to read one verse. And if we could have the communion servers come up. And what we're going to do too is we're going to have the elder teams are going to be up. The elders are going to be up in front here. And they'll be kind of spread across the front. And then we will also have prayer teams in the back. If you would like prayer as you come up and partake of communion, then you can come and ask for prayer from the elders or go to the back and talk to the prayer team and ask for prayer for them and have them pray for you. Have them pray a blessing over you. And I encourage you, partake in it. Receive that and enjoy what God has for you in and through that. You see, communion recognizes the new covenant that God has given us with him so that we can see God's work in our life and what God is doing so that God's Spirit can empower us. So again, take time before communion, but you don't have to rush up. You don't have to get the first dip. It's okay. Take your time and reflect on God and ask God to fill you with his Spirit. Let me pray. Father, I just pray for us, even as we get to partake of communion, that you would fill us afresh by your Spirit, Lord. Even as we receive prayer, and even as you touch us, Lord, I just pray that you would fill us afresh with your Spirit. And Lord, lead us that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, how you are moving. That you would give us ears to hear your Spirit leading us and guiding us, Father God, in daily life, even as we face temptation, as we go through decisions in life and planning. And Lord, that you would lead us into ministry, Father God, and lead us that we can speak life to people, Lord God, as you've called us to do. Lead us and guide us by your Spirit, Lord. Fill us afresh by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. And bless our communion, Lord, that we would remember and reflect and rejoice in the work that you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So again, come up through the front, and then you can partake, and then wrap around the back and come receive prayer. Thank you. Okay. Let me pray one quick blessing over us before we go. Father, I just thank you for your grace and for your goodness, and I pray your blessing over everybody here, Lord, that you would lead them and fill them by your Spirit, Lord, this week as we go about, Lord, that we wouldn't be so focused on our own agendas and our own kingdom, Lord God, that we would be deaf to your leading and to your voice and to your guidance, Father, but give us ears to hear. Lord, give us hearts that are willing and that will obey you, Father God, and I just pray that you would lead us and guide us, Father God, this week and in our lives, Lord, that we would walk by your Spirit, Father God, and the power and fullness of your Spirit. And we thank you for your grace and your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. If you would like prayer, still come up and get that. And have a great week.